to see you today. As the sun shines, it's an opportunity for us to praise God for His good blessings and to assemble to worship Him, to honor His name. And we pray that that's our only reason for being here today, is that we can give God the honor that He is due. And by carefully considering His Word now, we do just that. And I appreciate that you'll get a Bible and join with me as we study together a few minutes from God's Word. If it's the case that you're here this morning visiting, we welcome you. It's certainly good to see Sister Tanis here again. And pray she'll have a safe trip back home, and our love and well wishes to her family. Especially send a hug to Tegan for me. Okay, good to see her again. If you're here, though, visiting and you're not a Christian, we want to especially not only welcome you, but encourage you to consider the importance of becoming a child of God. And we hope that today will be the day that, being convicted of your sin, you'll seek the Lord for His redemption. That you'll put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you will repent of your sin against God. That you will confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized into Him for the forgiveness, for the remission of your sins. That He might add you to His church. That you might be redeemed. That you might have the sure hope of the eternal home in the city of God when this life is over. I'd like for us to study this morning about Zion. I'd like for us to walk about Zion as John read for us from Psalm 48. And we'll come back to that psalm in just a moment and use it kind of as a guide for our study this morning. Zion was first held by the Jebusites, or what is called Zion, was first held by the Canaanites, the Jebusites, Jebus, the area was called. It came to be known as the stronghold of Zion, or the city of David, because David, in 2 Samuel 5, verses 6 through 9, after he became king of not only Judah but Israel, the United Kingdom, that he took Mount Zion. Now, this is looking at, if you can make out this map from the south, sort of, basically south-southwest, looking up north. And we have here the Hinnom Valley, which is the valley of Hinnom, from which we have the figure of Gehenna. We have the Kidron Valley on up here. And here on the southwest of this elevated region is what was Zion, or the city of David. This was the in 2 Samuel 5. The king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who they taunted David that he could not take this place. You shall not come in here. The blind, even the blind and lame, will repel you. You're not going to be able to come up this elevation and seize this stronghold. And as it's described there in verse 7, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. So it came to be known as the city of David. Now, in subsequent years, and 1 Kings 8:1 describes it, in subsequent years, that expression or that description of Zion began to be applied to not only the temple area, which was here, see, from the city of David originally here, which David took, this stronghold, to now include the temple area and eventually the whole city of Jerusalem. So that Isaiah 8, Jeremiah 31, the prophets spoke about Zion in terms of the entire city of Jerusalem. For instance, in Isaiah 2 and verse 3, many people should come and say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways. We shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So Zion becomes interchangeable with Jerusalem, whereas originally Zion was this stronghold, this position of strength, this bulwark that the Jebusites held, that David and his men, the men of David, took, and began to be known as the city of David. Now, as we continue to study through the Scripture, we then see that Zion this city of David begins to represent God's rule among His people. In Hebrews 12 and 22, it says, of Christians, you have come to Mount Zion. Now, we haven't gone over to Jerusalem. And yet he says, we have come to Mount Zion. What does he mean? He's talking about God's rule among His people. It's used prophetically in Psalm 2 of the Messiah. Remember, this famous passage is quoted numerous times in the New Testament. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Now, he did that by setting David there, but that was a figure of what was to come. I will tell the decree, the Lord has said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. So God set his king upon the holy hill of Zion, not literally Jerusalem, but he most certainly did when he established Jesus at his right hand and gave him all authority over heaven and earth and authority over his kingdom. You see, so in Hebrews 12, 22 and 23, we must not lose this point that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is represented by Zion. It says, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Now, we haven't come to heaven yet, but we've come to Mount Zion. We've come to the city of the living God. What does he mean? It's a representation of God's rule, God's authority, God's place of habitation with his people, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable hosts of company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Now we have a citizenship in heaven. We are citizens of the city of God. We've come to Mount Zion. So what once described a stronghold that David took, expanding to the temple area where God had his habitation and gave his regard to the people and where they worshipped him, to then all of the city of Jerusalem, God takes that figure and he says, I'm going to set my king on that city, on that hill, on the holy hill of Zion. A hill set apart. One that distinguishes from all the other hills of the earth. One that has a king and a kingdom. Because he is my son. You and I, who come to Jesus, or saved in the Lamb, have come to Mount Zion. The church is thus represented. And but before we go on from that, might we just say, note here from Hebrew, from that the kingdom is thus represented. You see, the kingdom is the Lord's rule among His people. That's the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, heaven is so represented. In Revelation 21 and 2, John saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Of course, these are the redeemed ones. These are ones who will inhabit eternity with God. This city of God, where He is the light. Verse 10, He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Well, that wasn't literal Jerusalem. That was a figure of heaven and those who inhabit it. So we have Zion, we have literal Jerusalem, we have the Jerusalem of which we are citizens and we are a part, we comprise the church of our Lord today, and we have the eternal kingdom, the eternal city of God. Now, that's what we want to walk about for a few minutes this morning. We want to walk about Zion, as the psalmist wrote and sang. We want to do that by, first of all, I'm sorry, I forgot something else. I apologize for my halting nature here on this morning. I want to go to Isaiah 62 because it's not on the chart, but I want to set this before us before we proceed back over to Psalm 48. Isaiah 62 says, and now Isaiah is looking forward to the Messiah's kingdom. And he says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles, the nations, shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate. But you shall be called Hephzibah, that is, my delight is in her, and your land Beulah, that is, married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. You see, God prophetically talks about Zion, where He has set His king. And in its glory, He is married. They are married, no longer desolate, but joined to God. And in the righteousness of Zion is seen by the nations. And God's blessing is upon Zion. Now, is that only reserved for descriptions of heaven? No, it's reserved, it is applied to descriptions of the church, of which we compose, of which we are part, when we are the people of God today. Now let's see this. Zion is ruled by God. Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Jerusalem was elevated back in the ancient day and still is. It's a place of elevation. And so it is was regarded as God's holy mountain. God put His name there, set His king there, allowed His temple to be built there. It was a place of God, ruled by God. God's presence was renowned from Jerusalem, His power and greatness. But you see, Jesus doesn't rule from Jerusalem on earth. He rules over the new Jerusalem. He rules the heavenly Jerusalem, the kingdom of the Lord, the church. You see, in Daniel 7, the prophecy would be made. While Israel was still, you know, they were in captivity because of the sins of Jerusalem. We studied that about that in length in Jeremiah. But in Daniel 7, Daniel had a vision in the night, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, and He came to the Ancient of Days. Here's a visionary depiction of the Christ's ascension to heaven. And they brought Him near before the Ancient of Days, before God Almighty. Then to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all nations, peoples, languages should serve Him, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Christ has been given authority. He has been given dominion. God has set His king upon His holy hill of Zion. Psalm 2, 6 and 7. That is fulfilled. Acts 13 says, verses 32 and 33, is fulfilled in that God raised up Jesus from the dead. So we know Zion exists because Jesus has been set as king in Mount Zion. But of course we know He's king over His kingdom, the church. So when the sons of Korah sang the Psalm 48, praising the glory of God at Mount Zion, it is a figure of what now we do as citizens of Zion. As we lift our songs, as we serve our King, as Christians, as we live in faith to Him. Go over with me to Psalm 87 now. The 87th Psalm. And here is another song of the sons of Korah. And they sang this: His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. God put His name there. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this one was born there. Israel now is going to go to Egypt, to Babylon, from east and west, north and south. The glories of Zion would go forth. And of Zion it will be said, now watch this, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. There was recognition for the one who would be born in Zion. And the Most High Himself shall establish her. The Lord will record, when He registers the peoples, this one was born there, Selah. Both the singers and the players of the instruments say, all my springs are in you. See, anciently, to be in Zion, to be a citizen of Zion, God acknowledges as a blessing. The psalmist acknowledges a blessing. To be born there, to be registered among the people there, was better than Egypt or Babylon, Ethiopia or Philistia, Tyre, any of the other places. But you see, that again is representative of what now is found in the kingdom of Christ, to be born again, to be born into the kingdom of God, to be born from above, John 3:3-5, to be born not of corruptible seed but of incorruptible through the Word of God which lives and abides forever, to be registered in heaven, to be registered as citizens of heaven, of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to be added by Him to His church, to be citizens of Zion. You see, that's where the true blessing is to be found today. Not to live in Jerusalem over there in Palestine, but the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to be under the rule of the Messiah today. You see, so salvation, born into His kingdom, added by Him to His church. This is where the blessing is. This is the Zion of which we sing. This is the Zion. Not only and ultimately, and yes indeed, ultimately there is the city of God in heaven. There is heaven itself. But you see, we've come to Mount Zion. We now are in Zion. Do we get that? I don't know. We compose Zion. If we think of Zion only as something that's heaven and not now, then we've missed the connection that we compose the kingdom of Christ. That He is ruling today. If Zion is only in the future, then how is it that He's now on the holy hill Zion? How has that been fulfilled if it's not until it's sometime in the future? You see that? No, we are citizens in Zion. The King is ruling in Zion. And for that, He is to be honored and magnified and glorified. But let's go a little further here. And of course, as we noted, God delights in Zion. In Isaiah 62, we already noted that. Zion is regarded as a place of refuge. This elevated place, this place where the Jebusites mocked David and said, "You can't come up here. We're going to pick you off like flies. We're going to put the weak people on the wall and the blind ones on the wall, and they're going to be able to fight against you and to repel you because of the strength of Zion. It is fortified. It's a place of refuge, a place of security and safety." Well, it is that very figure that now God will use to assure His people of protection that comes from Him and the refuge that we receive from Him in our lives. Psalm 48:3, God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. That is, of Zion's refuge. God is Zion's refuge. You see, the strength never was in the city itself. It never was in the elevation itself. It was in God. If it was just in the location, David never could have taken the city. David never could have taken it. God is her refuge. "For behold, the kings assembled. They passed by together. They saw it." We're talking about Jerusalem now, the city of David, Zion. Verse 2. "They passed by and marveled. They were troubled and they hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as a woman in birth pains. as when He break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. And he said, now wait a minute. If God was going to establish Jerusalem forever, then how is it that the Babylonians destroyed it? Well, of course, they destroyed it because the citizens of the city turned away from God. They didn't look to God as their refuge. They weren't faithful to God. And so, Zion was overrun. That's the point to be made here, is that when God is regarded as the refuge, you see, God establishes Zion. And He did establish Jerusalem as long as His purpose is for the literal Zion and until they were fulfilled. But now He has set His king upon the holy hill of Zion, not literally, but in the kingdom, in the church. And it continues to be a place of refuge. Hebrews 13:6 says, I will in no wise fail you, neither will I in any wise forsake you. God is, the Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge. The church is refuge. He's the one in whom we put our trust. Look again, look at the Psalm. 125 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 125 and verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. You know, brethren, we need to be careful in a time like we live today, that we don't become overwhelmed with the realities of the presence of sin and evil and despair, that and wring our hands and get all diverted into thinking that that life as we know it's about to end. Well, maybe it is, but you know what? God is our refuge. Our citizenship is in heaven. If America falls, bless your heart, that's not going to destroy our faith. Amen. Our strength is in God. And so you see his point. The Lord surrounds his people. The Lord surrounds his people. We put our trust in him. Neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come. You see, nor any other thing, as I paraphrase from Romans 8, shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The enemies of Zion cannot defeat her. Enemies of America may defeat America sometime. And America, quite frankly, is not nearly as strong as she used to be morally, and therefore in a worldview. And quite frankly, you know, there's always been immorality in America. Let's don't put on some rose-colored glasses as if the founders were some icon of morality. They weren't. They were men of the world who were sinners and lost without Jesus Christ, the same as sinners lost without Jesus Christ today. Am I wrong? They were in the denominations of men, lost. Theists, many of them. Their whole theology was sin, was error. Deists, not theists. Deists. You know what a deist is? God winds up the clock of the world and just sets it over here and then he's kind of hands off. Thomas Jefferson didn't believe in any of the miracles of the Bible. That's why the Jeffersonian Bible has all of them stripped out. What's the point? Enemies may destroy America. And quite frankly, looking at the history of the world, someday they will destroy America if the life on this earth continues. That doesn't discourage God's people because our citizenship is in heaven. That's the first citizenship we're concerned about. Heaven. I know Christians that get all worked up about citizenship here, but citizenship in heaven, not so much. Daniel 2:44 said that God would establish a kingdom that would never be destroyed, unlike the kingdoms of men. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. In Revelation 14, at a time when Christians were being lit up as torches and thrown to lions for their faith, the message that God sends out through the apostle to the churches is this: Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. I see a lamb. I see him on Mount Zion, and I see a complete picture of redeemed ones. They are identified as the Father's. They belong to him. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. He hears this sound of power and praise. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So we know who they are. They're the redeemed ones. Figurative number of totality of all of God's redeemed ones, belonging to God in power and praise with the Lamb before them on Mount Zion. Not literal Jerusalem. This is the figure. This is the representation now. A place of refuge, a place of power, a place of redemption. These are the ones who are not defiled with women. For they were virgins. They're pure. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. These are the ones that were lit up like torches. These would be the ones thrown to lions. And these would be the ones on Mount Zion with the Lamb in triumphal power and praise throughout eternity. That's why I know kingdoms come and go. America comes, America goes. The kingdom of our God stands forever. And we're citizens of Zion. And that's our faith. And that secures us to keep on being faithful to Jesus. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I tell you what, sometimes we feel like the devil just has us by the throat. Like he's just wanting to squeeze our life out of us. We have to fight back. We have to fight. Being a citizen of Zion doesn't mean we sit down. We have to put on the armor of God. We've got to put on that armor. Stand in the day of battle. Resist. And fight the war. Because you see, the Lamb is victorious. That's the scene. Don't be defiled by sin. Don't hold deceit in your heart and mouth. Follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Zion is then a place of refuge. Zion includes the temple of God. As we said, remember that originally the stronghold was south of where the temple place would be, because the temple didn't exist in the days of David, but it would be built. And so Zion begins to take on the description of that part of Jerusalem that includes the temple. In Psalm 48, 9 through 11, we have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. I want you to also look at Psalm 132 and verse 12 beginning. Put these together and we have the point that we're making at this junction. It says in verse 13, For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I'll satisfy her poor with bread, and so on. So we have God's habitation is Zion. But you see, the church is God's habitation today. God put His name upon Jerusalem. God had respect for the temple, regard for the temple, that when Israel would go there and worship Him from there, He would receive that worship. Well, in Ephesians 2, remember now we were taught in Hebrews 12, we've come to Mount Zion. Look at Ephesians 2 and 19. Now, therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole body, being fit together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The church is a temple of God today. God dwells. It is a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Church, God dwells with His people, with the redeemed, and we're blessed. And anciently, Zion, the psalmist said, we thought on your loving kindness, on your mercy, on your grace. Well, we stand in God's grace today in the Lord's church. They said, your name is there. Well, His authority is here today. And we respect and regard it. He's given head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. In Zion, there's a regard for the righteousness of God. Remember Isaiah 62, it said that righteousness was a hallmark of Zion. And in that passage, we're reminded of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 33:16, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. Now, he's not talking about literal Judah anymore or Jerusalem. He's looking forward to the Messiah. And he says, this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And so the gospel is God's called righteousness. Not only that God Himself is righteous, but that the gospel contains how we may be counted righteous by our God. And it is Zion who is inhabited by those who are righteous. A righteousness according to faith. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. And so, Zion also is ruled by the judgments of God. Let the daughters of Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. It is the Word of God that contains the judgments of God. They are the commandments of God. 1 Corinthians 14:37, the apostles' words. So just as surely as the temple was a part of Zion anciently, so the church is composed of those with whom God habitates. God dwells with us, His people. And so we offer Him our praise. As ancient Zion did, so we give Him glory in the church. Ephesians 3. 20 and 21. Now, finally, let's walk about Zion. Number her towers. Verse 12. Zion, her towers. Well, towers were places of observation, lookouts. They're there for warning and for protection. You see, watchmen, the watchmen of Zion, were a blessing from God. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, Ezekiel talks about the benefit of watchmen. In Isaiah 62 that we read the first five verses of about Zion, he continues in verse 6, I believe, to talk about watchmen on her walls. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. Ancient Jerusalem had towers on her walls to watch for the enemy's approach and to warn the inhabitants to be prepared. In these days, there are watchmen on the walls of Zion. God has appointed elders to watch and feed the flock Acts 20:28. That we're to obey their leadership in Christ. Obey those that have rule over you and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls as though it should, those that will give an account. They do it joyfully and not grievously. Hebrews 13:17. But some in Zion don't want watchmen these days. Don't want elders rule. Don't want the mouth of the evangelist to herald a word of warning as he preaches the word. Don't want Bible class teachers that give book, chapter, and verse to warn of error and to strengthen in truth, to help us resist the devil. He says, be sober, be watchful. How can we be watchful of the devil if we don't know who the devil is, what the devil is, what the devil's tactics are? If we don't know what the error is, if we don't know what the truth is, elders need to know the truth so they can be watchmen. They can feed it to us. Preachers need to preach the Word. Teachers need to teach the Bible. All of us need to be watchful and helpful to each other. Zion's towers have watchmen today. And they are there put by God for our spiritual protection. Remember the refuge point? Refuge comes in that way. Mark well her defenses, the psalmist said. Zion's defenses are capable of standing against every onslaught, to take up the whole armor of God. And as we wear that armor, as we fight the forces of evil, that in fact in 2 Corinthians 10... Remember, Paul uses that same terminology when he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty to God for pulling down strongholds. The walls of Zion has defenses. We put that armor on, we fight the spiritual battle, and we can be victorious in Christ. That's the assurance of Ephesians 6. Not only to put on the armor, but he says when we do that, we stand. Be strong in the Lord and strength of His might. Against worldliness, against spiritual indifference and false doctrine. Against strife and division. The things that Satan would use to tear us apart. Mark well. Know the defenses that are there. Gird your waist with truth. Take up the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Engage the battle. God's protection is with us when we will do. God protects Zion. Remember, that was the point of the 48th Psalm. God is with us. Her. God will protect her, and the kings of the earth will come and marvel at her strength. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. You see, he taught Israel, if you'll be faithful to me in Jerusalem, if you'll abide in me, your enemies will not conquer you. And that's the message that he gives us in Jesus Christ. And we must put our faith in his strength. Mark, walk about Zion and consider her palaces. Do we know how beautiful the church is? Do we know how beautiful the church is to Jesus? It's His bride. How beautiful was your bride on your wedding day to you? God uses that figure to say, that's the church to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:27, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That she should have the beauty of which Zion held in a physical sense, all the more reflecting the greater spiritual beauty. Look at some of these applications. Salvation. The beauties of the church include salvation. We are redeemed. Pure in the Lamb. fellowship, communion with God Himself and His people as God dwells among His people of Zion. In Zion, we serve as priests. We compose a holy temple. And we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. There is beauty in serving God as priests in His temple. There is the security and victory of which we've already spoken. It's beauty, it's honor, it's glory. There's the hope of eternal life. Philippians 3:20 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior." We wait, He says, "from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body." Our hope is glory. Zion's beauty is seen and will be seen ultimately in the city of God in heaven and all the heavenly reward. And so the psalm ends by saying, "For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death." God guides Zion now through life and secures her in time of death. He is our God. He protects. He shields. He blesses. He guides. He leads us. His Son is at the head. He set His King upon the holy hill of Zion. And so, that's the call of the gospel, is to come to Zion. Are you a citizen of Zion, where the Son of God is the King, where He blesses you with redemption from sin, salvation, and fellowship with God, to serve Him as a priest in security and the ultimate victory of eternal life? If you're not a citizen of Zion, you're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're not a citizen of Zion. Obey His gospel today. Become a child of God. Repent, confess your faith, and be baptized into Jesus. He will add you to His church. You'll be born again. And God will regard you as one whose citizenship is in Zion. Won't you come while we stand and we sing?
To God be the glory, great things He has done.